People don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it.
Like you mentioned, the podcast I spoke to Sharon Huddleston last year, whose daughter died in a crash, and that was another big one that shook me up. It's like, no, this is why I do this now.
And what drives me now is I don't want any of my students to become a statistic. I won't let anybody go to test unless I think they're at a standard where I won't have sleepless nights worrying about them.
Yeah, this isn't really about the test, is it? This is like, I need to be able to drive in a way that keeps me safe for the rest of my life.
Inspire Instructor Training Podcast, where the learning never stops.
Welcome to Inspire Instructor Training Podcast book club episode today. So today we're going to be talking about Start With The Why by Simon Sinek. So before I get started, I'd like to introduce my guests, plural. So first of all, we have the man, the myth, the legend that is Terry Kirk. So welcome, Terry.
Great to be here. I'm pretty sure you're going for other guests then, but I'll take it.
And then we're also joined by two support mentors, Andy Sinker and Kev Lines. I'm going to start off with this book and talking about this book, probably less so about the book and more about the concept behind the book. And I want to start by asking Terry, what's your why as a driving instructor?
See, it's interesting because in the book, he specifically states that your why never changes. Like mine has. I think it evolved. I think that when I became a driving instructor, I didn't become a driving instructor because I wanted to make the road safer. I became a driving instructor because it fit nicely into what I wanted to do at the time. You know, it was work-life balance and managing my own diary and that stuff. But it has evolved into why I do it now, which is I want most people to stay on the road. I want to create these awesome, safe drivers that go out and swing the ratio in favor of safe drivers rather than dangerous drivers.
Yeah, I find that really interesting because I wonder if actually, in a way, your why hasn't changed. It's maybe you didn't have a strong why when you started. You had a what, I suppose, which was to deliver driving lessons to fit in with your lifestyle. And I think it's nice to have this concept of I'm going to start this business and with this massive why. And I think that's great if you can do that. And I feel like we've done that a little bit with support, which we'll get on to later. But I don't think all driving instructors do start with this big, epic why. And that's why you become a driving instructor. Some do. And I think that's fantastic. And I see that and you see that drive, but it isn't always that. It sometimes develops into this why. So what I'm also wondering though, then, because obviously the whole point of having this, not the point of having a why, but when you've got a why, when you've got a purpose for what you're doing, it changes the way you deliver stuff. It changes what you put out there. It changes how you deliver your lessons. So I wonder if and I'm sure there wasn't like a one-off moment where you went, right, this is my new why. I'm sure it's gradual as it kind of like it evolved, I suppose. But now you have this purpose of road safety. How does that change how you behave in the car, on social media, with the podcast? So how has that kind of changed how you behave?
I mean, just to touch on what you said before as well, that idea of having the what before the why, I think you're right. And it's something that I spoke to a chap called Dino Tartaglia about recently, and he just came onto this book. You know, he didn't know we were speaking about it, but he said that, you know, you can start with your why and start with your what and then figure out why. So I think you're right. And yeah, it is. It has evolved. And I do think it's been a series of moments. It's been a progression, but there's been moments that have kickstarted it. There's been students that have kickstarted it where something's gone wrong, and I've reflected afterwards and gone, oh, hold on. Well, how much of that is my fault? Oh, 90% of it, right. Okay, let's fix this. There's been students that I've gone for tests and are nowhere near ready test standard. And I'm then feeling guilty for it because what if they'd got lucky and passed? You know, and then, like you mentioned, the podcast, I spoke to Sharon Huddleston last year, whose daughter died in a crash. And that was another big one that shook me up. It's like, no, this is why I do this now. I think that was a moment where this is why I do this. So in terms of how it's changed what I do. I think I used to hide from it a little bit. I'd do it. I'd talk about road safety on lessons. I'd deliver road safety. I'd try and create safe drivers. I'd talk about road safety on the podcast, but I'd kind of hide it a little bit. So even with the podcast, I remember back in 2023, the first real episode I did on road safety, I got two guests on because I didn't feel like I could just do it with one guest. I needed to try and beef it up a little bit. And then it was 2024, I think. Let me get my years slightly wrong here, but I think it was the year after or the end of the year before. I was like, no, this is a priority. I need to prioritize this. And then that's why I did the whole road safety thing. And it's the ethos of what I do. The new podcast that's coming out, the tagline, it's always been, let's keep raising standards. Well, I'm now adding in, let's keep raising standards and driving instructors to Vision Zero. So I think the way it's changed me is that I'm just more vocal about it now. I don't hide from it. I don't shy away from it. I'm not embarrassed by it when I was before. Now that is me. That's who I am. That's what I do.
Yeah, I like that. And do you think it makes those big decisions a little bit easier? Because when you have a big choice to make, and I wonder if there's an element of like, because obviously you've slightly changed how you've done your podcast, but, or even just those decisions about pupils going to test, if you have this purpose and this sort of kind of why behind you in a way, it makes all those decisions easy because you fall back onto that purpose. And I think we've had this, like just bringing in support a little bit. I think we've had this a little bit with support. One of the main calls that we have is to support driving instructors. And when we're making decisions about what we're going to offer, how we're going to package the deals up, it's all about sort of kind of falling back on that. Is this going to help the driving instructor? Is this going to make them better? And I think if you've got that why and that purpose behind you, it makes those decisions so much easier. And you're not just like throwing things at the wall and hoping they stick. And yeah, does that make sense?
It's what he describes in the book. It's a celery test, isn't it? It's that idea of that if you're looking after yourself and your why is that you want the fit and health and body so you can do X, Y, and Z, and then someone comes along with a chocolate bar and a stick of celery, you choose a stick of celery. It's not a hard choice. And I think you're right. I think that sometimes it takes a minute to register. You know, a quick example for you, and this is actually an old one, but I think it works, which was I had a student who I'd picked him up to go for a test and his driving was quite erratic on the morning of the test. I'm like, this feels more than just like nerves to me. So much wrong. So we carried on a little bit. And then I thought, so much not, he's not seeing stuff. So I got him to do the eyesight check. And anyway, he had to get about 5 meters from the reg before I could read the number plate. And basically, I says, but you've got your glasses on. He says, yeah, they're not mine. I broke mine. I borrowed my friend's. I'm like, that's not how glasses work. So he's then arguing, saying he still wants to go to test. And I'm arguing, saying no, because they won't take you. And we were having this argument for about 2 minutes before I suddenly went and realized, hold on, why would I let you drive my car? You can't see. And it's that sort of moment. You might not always click straight away, but there will be something that clicks for you where you go, no, this isn't safe. This is counterproductive to what we're doing. And I know that's a slightly comical scenario, but that was it. Just I'm arguing over something that's irrelevant when the actual important thing was, why would you drive when you can't see past the bonnet?
Yeah, no, and I think you're right. That's what I mean. It's like, if you have that as your underlying reason, I do think it makes those, that's obviously a last minute conversation, but the more common, I think, conversation is the, are you ready for driving test? And I think if you have road safety as your drive, that conversation becomes a lot easier because it is no longer about whether you think they might pass or not pass the driving test, because there's always an argument back to that. There's always, well, I might. What if I'm lucky? Can I give it a go? All of those sort of things. Whereas actually, if your argument is that I don't feel like you are ready to drive on the road and be safe and keep yourself alive and keep others alive, that's harder to come back to. They probably will, but at least you've given them a sort of your true principles, I think, rather than the driving test. I just want to bring the other guys in here now, actually, while we are talking about your why. So, Andy, let's go with you first. So what's your why?
My why started off as I wanted an easy riding to do into retirement. And I thought driving instructor, being a driving instructor would be an easy thing for my last 10 years. Fortunately, my why has evolved, because when I first started, I thought that being a driving instructor, literally I'd be sat in the car telling people what to do. And I think the best thing that actually happened for me was failing my part three twice, because it really threw me into the coaching and studying a lot more. And that sort of thing excites me now. As things have developed, the bond with my students has got better as I've got better with working with my coaching, and my rapport's got a lot better. Now, my biggest worry and what drives me now is I don't want any of my students to become a statistic. And that's my biggest drive at the moment for when I'm teaching them. I'm trying to teach them I won't let anybody go to test unless I think they're at a standard where I won't have sleepless nights worrying about them.
Yeah, no, I love that. I can't remember, as on our workshop we talk about that. Is it one in five drivers crash within the first 6 months of that passing the driving test? And I ask, that just seems like a stat. It's just a number. Like, you hear lots of stats like that all the time. But I think if you put it into reality, let's say, for example, an average driving instructor has 20 pupils on their books at any one time. So actually, then if you ask, which four of those drivers are you willing to go and have a crash in the first 6 months? And I think when you make that your why and that your reason on, actually, I'm going to do my like damn bestest to make sure none of those become those four, basically. And that's our job, isn't it? Day in, day out, to just go out and try and make sure that none of them become that number. It probably will happen because things happen, but at least we can say we've done everything we can. Yeah, no, I love that. Kev, what's your why and has it developed?
Well, it's definitely developed, because my why started out from, I was in the bus industry for 20 years, over 20 years. So I started my training in transport in the bus industry. And I always felt that I wanted to do more than just that. So it was kind of, well, these guys and girls come with a license. They've already got a driving license. They're just kind of upgrading their license. And that was what kind of sparked my interest in, actually, I could be the person that actually gets them on the road in the first place. So that was my why. My why was, I want to develop myself and I want to be the person that actually teaches these people to go from feet to wheels, rather than from just little wheels to big wheels. It's developed from there, really, because my main kind of passion within the industry now is focused on people that struggle with confidence and anxiety and nerves. And that's never where I started. It wasn't even on my radar. It's just become part of who I am naturally as an instructor. So yeah, my why has definitely changed.
Yeah, I like that, because I partly like that because it's different to the other two's road safety one, actually. And I'm sure 100% that you are a road safety based focused instructor, but I do like the fact that you've got this, actually, it's about the learners, it's about who, like, changing their lives, I suppose. And I think there's a lot of instructors out there that would resonate with that. I think people come into the industry for different reasons, and that change in lives and supporting people is absolutely a really good sort of drive to have.
Yeah, Terry's probably been the most influential person within my within this industry that's focused me on the road safety aspect. So it's definitely something that I do on a daily basis in lessons. It's very much focused around safety and keeping people safe. But, you know, my kind of personal contribution I'd say to that is creating people that can actually drive confidently without the worry of, because one of the biggest things is the worry they're going to crash. So it's, you know, I'd rather them get the help and support they need to be able to do that, and in turn makes the roads a much safer place.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love that. And again, it's just having that why behind you, I think, can be really, really important. But I'm going to move on slightly here, because I am aware that this is book club and not why club. Terry, I'm going to bring you back in here, and we'll talk a little bit about the book. So did you have any key takeaways from this book in particular?
I think it was the overriding message was that golden circle. And I think I like that. It's that layering it up. So I think I did have that overall. I think where I struggled with this book, and I think this is answering your question, I think I struggled to get a lot of takeaways, individual takeaways from this book, because I found it quite dull. There was just like example after example after example. And to be fair, now, maybe this is where I struggled, because I listened to this book rather than reading it. And maybe I'd have got a slightly different tone from it if I'd read it. But it did just feel like just a constant string of examples, which is great. But yeah, I found it quite dull. I love the message from the book, that idea of that if you can find your why, then you, A, it'll help you keep going. B, it'll attract the right people to you, especially if you're communicating it. And I forgot what C was, but just imagine it was really interesting. So I think that that's kind of the overall message to me was the key takeaway, but the actual writing of the book itself, I didn't quite resonate with.
That's really interesting, because I normally don't like storytelling as a way of sending the message over. It doesn't tend to resonate with me. Diana will tell you that. But actually, in this book, it did. I think I was the opposite. I quite liked the storytelling. I think it pushed that message home for me. I don't know if it was particularly because of the styles of the story. Certainly because it came quite often from a business element. And while reading that book, obviously we were in that process of, but we'd already sort of started support, but we're building support and it's growing. I was able to sort of kind of resonate with it quite a lot. And so I think that's why it helped me. Yeah, it helped me sort of kind of connect the dots a little bit. But normally I'm with you. I don't like a long example each time.
I will say that what I did get was ideas. So as I'm listening, I've got a lot, and I've got, looking back at my notes I made from it, there's like lots of notes of, oh, we could bring this into support, or oh, I could do this thing here. Yeah. But it was more ideas as a result of that. I did write down one quote, actually, because I really like this. So I'm going to read the quote, which, while the music industry was busy suing 13-year-olds for downloading music illegally, Apple was busy changing the music industry. I think that was something that made me stop and think a little bit. And it was like, yeah, there's, it's choosing which hill to die on. You know, if certain people at that time hadn't have been overly worried about a 13-year-old downloading a track for their MP3 player at the time, they might still be in business. And I think that we need to look at that with our industry now. It's like, look at the petty things that some people will argue to death about on social media, while there's one person out of every five, as you say, Phil, crashing their car in the first year after passing the test, which is the bigger thing. Minor fault? You know, or what do we call it? Yeah, minors or driver fault, or these people are dying.
Yeah, and that isn't the conversation enough, is it? Actually, you're right. It's it ebbs and flows every now and again. It comes into the industry, but yeah, it's not the question people ask. It is not like people don't come onto Facebook and go, should my pupil have done this because it would be potentially dangerous post test? They come on, should they have done this because would it be a drive fault on the test? And I think similarly, your learners don't ask that question, do they? And it's about rewording that question back to them. While we're on quotes, though, I have my own from the book. So one of the quotes I got from the book was, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. And for me, that resonated with support. Driving schools. So partly because pretty much everyone that has come on board so far, obviously with the mentors, but actually with the PDIs and the ADIs who have joined so far, it really feels like that. It feels like they are buying the why, not the what. Rarely is it that the conversations about what do I get from this, how much does it all cost. It's like most people are like, you know what, I get why you're doing this, and I'm behind it, and I buy into it, and I want to be part of it. And I've heard our instructor say, use that phrase, like, I want to be part of this. And I think that's really crucial, because that sort of customer, and I'm not necessarily talking about support here in that sense, tends to stay with you and be loyal and promote you. So I think if you turn this around to the majority of the driving instructors listening to this, won't have a multi-car driving school, but they will have a bunch of learners, and your learners also buy into why. And I'm sure you guys see this because you've all kind of given me that sort of strong why. And because they get that and they buy into that, and that's why they're staying with you, maybe why they joined your driving lessons. The pupils that turn up for that are the ones that are also going to go recommend you. They're the ones that, like Terry, you said on our meeting that you messaged a few of your ex-pupils recently. They're the ones that reply to that. They're the ones that are like, oh, how are you doing? That sort of thing. Because it wasn't just about the driving lessons. It was about what you did for them and why. Yeah, is that something you see in your lessons?
Yes, a lot. And do you know what? Just to answer that, the pupils I messaged, I mentioned about support with, they'll reply going, thank you. Yeah, I'd be really happy to support. I'm like, yes, I love that you're getting that pun in there. But yeah, this is something I've spoken about since day one. It's something I stumbled across accidentally when I started marketing myself back in 2018, when I started marketing myself online. I wasn't intentionally putting my personality out there, but I didn't do the same social media as everyone else did. I did the social media that I wanted to read if I'd have been learning to drive. And that was my why. Now, I class it slightly differently. I class it as my personality, but it's me putting my why out there. And it attracted then students I wanted to work with. And since then, especially since doing the podcast, this is the thing I've banged on about since right from episode one. You know, if you put your personality out there, if you talk about your why, you will get students that want to work with you. They won't come to you because they want to pass a test. They come to you because they want to work with you. Now, that's not exclusive. You know, you will still get people that come to you because they want to pass a test, because they'll see that you're a driving instructor, and that's kind of what we do. But you will get more of the people that want to work with you, and as a result, those lessons become more enjoyable. You know, the example I'll use is when when I was with my national driving school and I started marketing myself, all of a sudden I started enjoying my lessons more, and I couldn't quite figure out why. And it was because my students were choosing me, not the school. And I think that that's where support's going to work well as well, because we're putting our why out there. We're not just saying, come and pass your test. We're putting our why out there, so we're getting different students inquiring with us, which will then hopefully resonate more with the instructors as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It sort of kind of leads on to my other quote that I have, which is the goal is not to do business with everyone who needs what you have. The goal is to do business with people who believe what you believe. And I think that sort of links to that. Actually, I'm going to go to Kev first here on this one. So talking about people buying you for your why, and obviously you explained what your why was earlier. I'm interested to think what do you think your pupils would say your why is and why?
I think the majority of them would say something along the lines of, Kev does what he does because he wants to help people. He wants to see people grow. It's, you know, it's one thing just supplying a service. You know, plumber fixes pipes and an electrician rewires houses, you know. which is all noble. You know, they're great professions. But when I look at what I do and I see the outcome of my learners, like I've had one recently that people will probably hear about at some point this week or next week, who really struggled with learning to drive, and she thought that she'd never be able to learn to drive. And just by sheer chance, our paths crossed. And it was a moment of realization for her that meeting me opened doors and that she could actually learn to drive. And it isn't going to be this big, scary thing that she's worried about, that's, you know, she's not going to have freedom. So I'm kind of using what she would say, I think. And it was, Kevin actually cares about people that are scared of driving or worry about driving, and he wants them to be able to drive and have that freedom.
Yeah, I love that. And the reason I asked that question is because I think it's obviously crucial to have your why. But I think if you don't live it, if you don't do it day in, day out, like I've got, and you can't see it because I've got a background, but I've got a post on the back of behind me that says, "You are what you repeatedly do." And I think if you're not repeatedly being that why, then actually it becomes a bit pointless, because if your pupils aren't turning around and going, "This is why, this, I can see this because he delivers this, this is what he does every day." I think that's where it becomes important to live it as well, not just see it. It sounds like you are, which is great. I'm going to ask Andy a different question here, partly because of something you said earlier about initially wanting to join to slowly retire. So the other quote I think I got from the book is, the goal is not to do business with... Oh, no, that's the wrong one. Sorry, that's one I've already read out. Working hard for something we don't care about is called stress. Working hard for something we love is called passion. Now, do you feel like having changed into a driving instructor that it's no longer working towards retirement?
I class myself now as part semi-retired, although I work more hours than I ever have done. Because I love the job and what I do. I don't feel like I go to work anymore. I go out, I do what I enjoy doing, and people pay me for it. I've got the best of both worlds.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I am currently doing a Zoom at 7:30 at night, not getting paid, and I don't think you do that unless you love it, as all of you guys. Terry, just bringing you back in on that, actually. Is that how you feel about our role as a driving instructors? Is it a passion?
It is. I think it becomes a passion, yeah. There's very few people, as we said before, that you know, grow up wanting to be a driving instructor. And I get excited when I meet the odd person that comes in for that reason. You know, we've kind of given us reasons today that, and they weren't, yes, let's change the industry. It was never that. It's become that. But Emma Fonaland, Norwegian Emma. You know, I heard her on your podcast last year, and she said right at the end of the podcast, I want to change the industry. I want to revolutionize the industry. That was someone that came in for that reason. Her whole thing that she speaks about is Vision Zero. And I have noticed a few more instructors coming in for that reason now. I'm not saying that's never happened, you know, it's just the echo chamber that I'm in potentially. But I think we developed that passion. I think stepping away from it slightly, one of the problems I face now is it does feel stressful to me, even though, like the quote you said about it shouldn't feel stressful, it should feel passion. I think where I feel the stress is that my goal, my whole thing is Vision Zero. And I can't do that. You know, that takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of work. And accepting that I can't do that, that I can't fix that, at least I can contribute it to it, I can't do it myself, is, I find that really stressful. And like you said, recording this, and I fully enjoy doing this, but it's not enough. I'm not changing the world. You know, there will still be a road death tomorrow. Some 5 people in theory will die tomorrow. And why haven't we fixed that yet? So I find that because the goal is there that I can't achieve, I find that quite stressful. But yes, it definitely feels more, you can probably hear my voice, actually feels more passionate now than boredom and stress and the mundane stuff of getting up and having to go and deliver a lesson. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fascinating, actually, because it's what you've kind of described there is not the day-to-day that's stressing you, but the goal you've set yourself being very large and very not something I think one person can do by themselves is the issue. And you said in the middle of that, like, why haven't we affected that? And what's really interesting I find about this, and I think this is maybe where different people maybe go at this in different ways, and I think that's good, because actually the more people hitting it from different directions, maybe an effect will be had. And one of my ways of trying to affect road safety is to have inspiring instructor training and have increase and improve the quality of driving instructors, which has that knock-on effect. And I often see on Facebook this question come up where people say, where's the proof in coaching or client-centered learning? Like, where's the proof that it has affected road safety stats? And my argument is that, well, first of all, there is no proof. Obviously, that study hasn't been done. But other than our like anecdotal evidence that I think you have from instructors that deliver good coaching. And I think the issue is there can't be any proof yet, because we haven't changed the industry enough yet that a large enough proportion of driving instructors are delivering those sort of lessons for it to have an effect. And I think for me, that's my sort of kind of why is to influence enough instructors to go and deliver those sort of lessons so it has an effect. It's one of the biggest whys for setting up support driving school was, I remember speaking to you this like probably late last year possibly, and my phrasing that was that I wanted to create an army of road safety driving instructors, and how better to do that than set up a driving school where we can really influence how they deliver driving lessons. And so for me, that's the thing there, is that it's having that, yes, there's that big goal. It's hard to kind of see how does that all come together. And I don't think it does from one person. I don't think it does from just this industry. But are you doing things every day to chip away at it? That's, I think, the thing that takes the stress down for me is, like, if you ever have that moment of like, oh, this is horrible, you can always go, well, actually, today I did this, and that moved the needle. Does that sort of resonate, I think? I can't.
It does. No, it does. I think that maybe this gets more into my personal way of, I want to make life better for people, you know, and this is something that it's not necessarily a conscious thing. I don't sit and go, I want to make people's lives better, but I suppose partly through listening to this book, it's made me reflect on it a bit. That's everything I do. And there's an element for me is, no, if I could clip my fingers and achieve Vision Zero tomorrow, I won't celebrate. I'll just go, right, what next? Because that's the next, I need to find something else to improve and make better. And whether that's pompous or egotistical, I don't know, but that's always my why. It's looking for that. So I think and the sensible Terry knows that. Sensible Terry knows that I can't click my fingers and make Vision Zero happen. What I can do is influence more people. And this is where the podcast has gone. It's like, okay, I can impact more people with this. It's where Support Driving School. And again, part of the reason you sold me on that, well, we can impact more people. And I'll never reach that goal, not just a Vision Zero, but the goal of improving everybody's quality of life. So I don't think I'll ever be able to settle on that. But that's what drives me to keep going. That's what makes me do the things I do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes it's nice as well to be annoyed that you're not there yet, because that fire can sometimes be the motivation you need to do the next thing.
I'm very good at, and this is, to be fair, this has only come over last year or so, accepting that everyone's on different chapters, potentially in different books. So just because I have this mindset now doesn't mean that everyone else should have that mindset. So, you know, it took me a while to get this mindset. So other people may be playing catch up, they may be nowhere near that yet. But every now and again I'll have a meltdown. I won't name names, but someone sent me a message the other day, and it was just, I sent a message full of expletives back saying this is a joke, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, even I need to unload sometimes. Even I can't be Mr. Positive all the time and get out of your system. And then I go back to being here, but everyone's in different chapters in potentially different books. So it's a difficult one, because we need to accept that. But now and again, you need to let that fire go and use that to spark up. And there's nothing wrong at all with using a bit of spite to kickstart something.
Yeah, I love the fact you have someone you can just go and rant to. Diana is my rant person in the industry. And in fact, the other day I wrote a reply out to someone on Facebook and then screenshotted it and said, can I send this? Knowing full well that I shouldn't send it. And literally she was my, like, you know, like you have the little devil on your shoulder and the angel on your shoulder. Like, the devil was like, send it. And I was like, I need to ask the angel. and then she was buried. She's like, bear in mind, she was on her way to going on holiday. She was like, she phoned me. I was like, do not send that.
out of curiosity, would I be the devil?
Yeah, probably. You'd have been, if I sent it to both of you, it'd been like, who responds first to whoever that had gone out on Facebook. So entertaining. So what I want to finish with is, unless Terry, you have any more key takeaways you'd like to talk about from the book?
No, we kind of talked to it before, but that celery test, I think it's quite big. It's the idea of, you know, does this align with my values? Does this align with my goals? Does it align with who I am and why I do what I do? And it is easy to do things that you don't believe in and start doing it, and it doesn't feel right. That time where something just feels wrong, but you can't put your finger on why, is usually because it doesn't align with what you stand for and what your values are. So it's a celery test. It's, you know, it's not quite what the celery test is, but I'm vegan. So you put a slab of steak in front of me, I'm not eating it because of my values. But you put a stick of celery, I will, because I quite like celery, especially in salad cream. So I think knowing what you believe in and being able to take a step back when someone doesn't feel quite right and go, why doesn't this feel quite right? It's because this doesn't align. Right, now I need to change it. And, you know, you mentioned before about the conversation around driving tests. I don't necessarily 100% agree that it makes those conversations easier. It makes a decision to have the conversation easier, because no, you're not taking my car to test because I don't want you to kill anyone. And then there's the flip side of that, which is, well, what if I pass? Well, that's even less of a reason to take your test, because you're not safe. So I don't mean to ramble too much there, but I think that that's just taking a step back and going, why doesn't this feel right? And you'll often find it's because it doesn't align with what you believe in.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think in business, I don't necessarily see that as often. Unless I, like you say, find out that it just, something's not right and I have to change it. Maybe looking back on it, I'm like, oh yeah, that's why it didn't work, because it wasn't in line with what we're doing. But I think actually my sort of kind of reference to that is probably actually very similar to the actual celery test, is like with my fitness goals. And I think in the past I've had fitness goals and that's what they were. They were just goals to be fitter. And I think the big thing that has changed for me to become healthier and fitter is, and actually it was interesting because it was through my gym. When they first sign you up, they have a goal session with you and they ask you, why are you here? And then you get a session every 3 months to review that and check in on that. And that has been huge for me, because actually when I get that literal celery decision of, do I get a takeaway tonight, or do I cook, or do, when I'm in the shop, do I buy that or do I buy that? It's so much easier for me to make those good choices. It's so much easier for me to go to the gym, do the run, whatever the thing is, because it now feels like, and it didn't like flip overnight. Like this takes a process. It feels like that's who I am now. Like I am the person that makes those choices. And that becomes a lot easier. And I think that can happen within business. And I think if you're not there in your driving lessons or your business, again, it's probably similar. It won't change overnight just because you've said it. You've got to, it's a bit like I said earlier about you are what you repeatedly do. So if you want to change, you've got to then, and you want that why to become an actual thing, you've got to start doing those things, making those salary decisions on a regular basis, and then it becomes you, and then it becomes easier. I almost want to wrap up on that because that was beautiful. But I'm going to ruin it and ask you all one more question. So I'm going to start with Andy. So I want to go round and give me an example of when on driving lessons, one that you've not already used, guys, when on driving lessons, your why really stood out, like a moment where like your why and your purpose was really obvious on your driving lessons, or a pupil recognized your why and went off and told the world.
Possibly could have been one of my students who believed that when he was driving, it was like a computer game. And it took me several months of long discussions with him to get him to understand about road safety side of things and my why as to why I want him to be safe out there. On his first driving lesson, we had to pull over because I was having to duel him. It was a nighttime lesson. It was raining. And all I was getting out of him was, this is fun. This is great. And it certainly wasn't fun. And it certainly wasn't great. And I think that's one of my biggest why challenges with him getting his mindset to change. And I literally, he was going to test in his own car because I would not let him go in my car because of his attitude. And 2 weeks before his driving test, suddenly it changed. And he did go out on his driving test. He did fail his first one, he hit a curb and went out and got out on his second. But his why suddenly changed 2 weeks before his first driving test. And I think that's like my biggest one, really getting it into him.
Do you think having that purpose though, and that sort of kind of meaning behind your driving lessons, meant you stuck with that pupil?
Possibly so. Yeah. It was a really nice guy, a really nice young lad. He was 17 year old. Had a birthday lesson. And I didn't know how I was going. It was at a point where I didn't know how I was going to change his mindset because this went on for months. And I was more worried about if somebody else, if I decided to say, okay, see you later, you know, how would he end up on the roads?
Yeah.
And as it turned out, he got a new job and he was working with my daughter. And I was thinking to myself, if he's in the car park with my daughter driving around like this and hits her, how would I feel then?
Yeah, absolutely. I had that experience teaching my daughter. Kev, other than the example you gave us earlier, do you have an example of where your why has shone through on a driving lesson?
Not one lesson. This is two learners in particular that spring to mind. Is when they came to me, the focus was on, I need to learn how to pass the test. And it was very clear when they came, it's like, how long is this going to take? You know, I'm just asking. I'm not trying to be pushy or anything. And literally within 2 or 3 weeks of being with me, the test was kind of never mentioned again. And it was like, okay, we get this. Not just one, it's these two in particular. Quite equally and very separately from each other. We're like, yeah, this isn't really about the test, is it? This is like, I need to be able to drive in a way that keeps me safe for the rest of my life. Not just being able to appease somebody in a high-vis vest that I can actually drive okay. And it was kind of that moment, which wasn't a moment in a lesson. It was kind of like a period of time over a few weeks when their mindset kind of was changing and they're like, oh, yeah, that realization. It's not really about the test, is it? No, no. And I'm glad that's the way you see it.
I love that. And this is why I love this job. It's just it's not about passing tests. It's not about just all these little moments that just kind of give us joy in the role. So Terry, over to you to finish off with your story of your why making an impact.
So the one that springs to mind is it was last year. I had some health issues. I had a bit of time off work, and all the students said they wanted to stay with me. Bar one, who said that they need to crack on my last. Now this particular student, lovely student, and I've judgmentally, I'm going to say she had a good attitude, but she's like, I need to crack on. So anyway, she messaged me like a week after she'd found this other instructor. And said, I'm coming back to you. I'm like, okay, cool. And when I started doing lessons again, I asked her why. And she'd basically gone to a car park and practiced bay parking on this first lesson. And her response was, I couldn't drive there. And you could just see it click for her. She's like, why am I doing bay parking if I can't drive there? I need to be able to drive to the car park safely before I can do this bay parking. This doesn't make sense. And I think it was that moment of her seeing my why, her seeing, yes, well, it makes sense because why am I doing bay parking if I can't drive there? So I think that's one that stands out to me as where my thing of wanting someone to be safe and confident, but also competent on the roads. As resonated, even if it doesn't resonate straight away, and it took them going to someone else for that to click through.
Yeah, and I think similar to Kev's, it's that pupil, isn't it? Just clicking, and it's like that happened a few years ago, and it still sticks with you. And I think again, it's why I love this job. And you know what? Actually, I've really enjoyed this podcast because it's all been positive. I love it, and we often have a lot of negativity in the industry, and I think it's been nice to talk about how much we love our jobs, but partly because I think we all have a why, and that makes it our passion rather than feels like a stressful work job. So yes, I'm going to thank you all for coming along and contributing to the thing. I'm also going to ask all of the listeners to go away and first of all, think about your own why and why you do it, but also think about the question I asked Kev about what do you think your learners would say your why is, and how that would, how that reflects on what you do day in, day out. So yeah, thank you guys for coming along, and see you all soon.
Inspire Instructor Training Podcast, where the learning never stops.